Welcome to the Fill Your House with Books podcast, where we talk about Christian and wholesome children's books and all things family discipleship. Welcome to this new episode. I am so excited you are here. I am really, really excited about today's podcast episode. And today's topic was not planned necessarily, but honestly, I was cooking lunch for our family and it just sort of appeared to me that that's what I want to share about today. And so basically the theme I gave this podcast is blessing our children and being reading parents. And being passionate about books ourselves as parents and the impact it has on our children's lives, our children's personalities, and of course our children's reading lives, which I find quite profound to think about because we always try to find answers and sort of like quick fixes or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps to a better marriage. Or in our case, how can I get my child to read more? How can I get him or her to like books more, to enjoy it more? And I think one approach that we easily miss is how much of a role model we are in our children's lives. Like this quote says, more is caught than taught, which basically says to me that I can talk to my children a lot about how important it is to read. I can even preach for hours on it, whereas the effect of me actually enjoying reading myself will touch their hearts much more and will just sort of affect their thinking differently. They might not even be aware of it, but when our children see that we are passionate about something, it just gets them interested in it in a different way. When they do not feel like mommy and daddy want me to do this in order to please them, you know, even like an unhealthy sort of pressure. I know there are healthy ways to motivate children, but there's also this other sort of pressuring way, which you've probably also experienced if you are a parent yourself, that sometimes we really want our children to try out something or to overcome a certain fear or to try something new, and then it turns out that they just don't enjoy it, and it sort of becomes unhealthy in a way of like them feeling pressured and us feeling discouraged and them not really wanting even to try that again anymore at all. Whereas I want to encourage all of us today, this is something I tell myself a lot and I like to read about a lot so that I find myself encouraged, is that I am a role model to my children. And so what my children see me do will impact them. And one sentence that sticks out for me a lot that I just think of oftentimes in regards to this is, love for books is contagious. So just picture yourself sitting there in your cozy spot somewhere on a couch reading a book. Let's say your child just so happens to walk by and notice that. And what if they see you enjoying what you're doing? They will notice that, and they will maybe even ask, what are you reading? What are you doing? Contrary to us sitting in a chair with our phones, which you probably can relate that this is hard nowadays with all the things we're doing on our phones. It's hard to not sit there with our phones or use it here, use it there. But why not add in a little bit more of those moments where we sit there with our phones? Why not just change it and have more times where we sit and read a book or where we enjoy a book in our hands? So yes, today's podcast episode is going to be about this topic, and I want to encourage all of us and just share some practical thoughts, some ideas, and give you lots of book suggestions. So you have to picture me sitting here with a stack of books in front of me. I thoroughly enjoy preparing those podcast episodes, and really the moments before are when it gets the most out of hand, because I think, oh yeah, I'm going to mention this book, I'm going to introduce this book to my audience, and then it happens to become this very big stack of books, so I don't even know how many books are in front of me. I'm trying to keep it a little shorter, but then on the other hand, I know that all of you guys just love hearing about books and just learning about different titles, and so basically all of this is supposed to help you grow in your own love for books and reading, because I think this is really where we should start. Also, if you put this, if you take a step back and look at the bigger picture of life in general and our God-given calling from our calling that the Lord has for us as parents, which is basically to train our child in the way they should go and also to show them how to love God and show them how much God loves them. So how we live that out as individuals, me as a mom, is going to speak volumes. So if my child sees me really flourishing with the Word of God and seeking the Word of God or seeking prayer, it doesn't need to be any elaborate Bible study every day, but even if they just see me turn to God in a moment of desperation saying, okay, let's pray, I'm helpless here right now, or when we're grateful to just say, let's praise the Lord for this, they will see this, they will notice it, and this is what it means for me to train them in the way they should go. It's definitely more than just teaching them and telling them what to do, but what I do and how I live it out will just speak volumes, and I'm very, very passionate about this, and it's just something the Lord has been showing me more and more here recently, especially since I'm a mom, of course. So how do we bless our children when we have a passionate reading life ourselves? So probably you tune into this podcast because you have some sort of interest in books. You might feel like, oh, I don't know many good books, or I don't know where to start, or I would like to read more. Or maybe you already are reading very, very passionately many books and many different genres. And so I don't know where you are at right now, but I know we can all use encouragement and perspective in that. And you might be a parent, you might not be, but for us as parents, it's just so important to have perspective. And me personally, I'm very practical minded. So when there's a problem or when there's a goal I have in mind, I immediately just think, okay, what are the steps I need to take to get there? I might not write down a list every time, even though I like doing that a lot too, but I might just in my mind think about like problem solving, or again, like how do I reach this goal? And so it helps me tremendously to realize that this is a main factor there to count in when it comes to learning in general, when it comes to faith in general, and when it comes to reading in general, that okay, what am I living out to my children? Or not just so that they see it, but also what am I actually passionate about? Do I like reading? What are books that inspire me? What are books that touch my heart? And one thing I really experienced myself is I had this picture, and the Lord is still working on that, but there's a certain picture you have in your mind, like what you affiliate with the word of like a book lover. For me personally, I was always, or I'm still actually, sort of intimidated by large numbers of books that people read each year. And I am not at all in the least looking down on that. Quite the opposite. I'm very, very excited for everyone who gets to read that many books. And I just have never been able, I don't really track how many books I read either, because I read many books at the same time alongside each other. But I just know that I'm not going to be able to really finish one book a week necessarily, unless I would really not go into it as deeply. And so I was always a little bit intimidated. And so for me, it helped me tremendously to sort of change my perspective to what it means to be reading, what it means to have a moment of enjoying a book. So you might think of novels. But as a mom, you've probably experienced that there's not that many quiet moments in a day, maybe not even in your evenings, or maybe you don't have any of those moments at all. And so it seems sort of impossible, or at least challenging, to get into a novel where you have to try to stay on track and see, okay, where is this plot line going? So let me tell you, there are so many other books that you can read every day where it might even just be 5 or 10 minutes on the couch. And if you are at all like me, then you have a hard time maybe focusing on a book or really any task if there's lots of talking going on. That's kind of how it is for me. I always admire my husband, who is able to literally write essays as there's some sort of sound here, some sort of sound there. He's literally in his completely own world, and I deeply admire him for that. We're very opposite there. And so for me, I would typically not pick up a book these past years, that's how it's been, if there's some sort of sound around me, something that would distract me, which obviously means that I have just a few moments in the day that I can really read. So now I've been changing my perspective there and just kind of noticing how many books there are that I can enjoy without even having this super quiet background setting. And I want to introduce to you this word that we have in German. So for those of you who don't know yet, I am German and I was born and raised there. So I speak German too, of course, and there's this one word that I actually did some research. I figured out that there is not an actual translation to the English language that would really show the meaning for it. You know how sometimes that's the case with languages, and it's very interesting to me. The German word is pronounced stöbern, and the translations I did find was sort of that it means like you search for something, you're trying to find something. So stöbern would be a word for like you're going to a bookshop and you just kind of look around. Or stöbern would be that you sit there with a book and you just kind of look through the book and explore it and quote unquote search for something. But stöbern in the German sense has a much different meaning. When I hear that word, I think of somebody, or I would picture myself sitting there with a book and just enjoying looking at it, glancing at it, but only for the sake of enjoying it, not with any pressure. So stöbern is not like you have to find something specific. You're not on a hunt. You're actually exploring without trying to find something. I don't know, maybe send me a message if you have an English word that would really be a good translation for that German word. But I find it very exciting. I love language and linguistics and all. So I love, also with Bible studies, I love the Greek and Hebrew meanings of words. And so stöbern is basically a principle that I want to share with you today. And I would love for all of you to implement it into your days. May it be that you're a homeschool parent and you have noise around you a lot. May it be that you just haven't established lots of reading time, reading habits in your own life yet. Or may it be that you have set reading times, but you just want to add a couple more to your life. Stöbern is basically you grabbing a book, no matter really where you are, may it be a louder or more quiet environment, and you just enjoying looking at it. So that would not necessarily be a novel. A novel would be a very focused reading time. But stöbern, that sort of just enjoyment reading, that would be other books. And you might have never thought of how many books there are that you can just enjoy sort of for a few moments here or there without feeling like I'm behind or I'm not caught up. I don't know where I'm in the storyline. And so those books that I have here in front of me are books that are perfect for that kind of just having a reading atmosphere in the home, just having a book lover atmosphere in the home, just you even saying, I have 5 minutes here until this dish is done in the oven, and I'm just going to sit down on the couch and just make a statement here for myself and for my children that, yes, I am worth it to invest into myself, because that way I'm investing into my children. When I take care, it's something that Sally Clarkson talks about a lot, is that we are responsible also for filling our own minds with truth and beauty and goodness. And so don't see it as, I think we should move away from that pressure or that condemnation feeling of, oh, I'm just not a good reader, I'm just not so fast, I just don't get as many books in, I'm just not smart enough, I'm not a good example, I'm on my phone enough. Okay, all these things might be true. Let's change our perspective there and prayerfully consider, where do I want to be? Okay, I do not need to read 3 books a week. That's not really a logical step to take. That will just make you feel very, very discouraged, because you might never reach that goal. That might not be who you are. So what about just adding more reading moments and book enjoyment moments, I want to say, to your day? And so I have 2 little ones. So when I think of my day, then usually they're around me. He might be napping, my little one, and my older one might be having her break time or reading herself. But as long as they are in the house, I just know that I probably will get interrupted in some way. So only when I'm completely alone in the home, like I am right now, because that's how it is. I prefer podcasting when I'm on my own. That's when we can really focus. So let's shift our minds and realize how many moments there are that we can just enjoy a book, a good book, not just anything, not some sort of magazine that doesn't go deep. But let me tell you about several books that would be perfect for that concept called stöbern. Say with me, it's a hard word to pronounce, I know. Let me start with this first book that I just a couple days ago shared on my page, Fill Your House with Books. So for those of you that might have only found me here on this podcast, I actually started this adventure. I really did not know what it would turn into, but I just love books. I love children's books. I love reading. And again, I'm not your typical reading 3 books a week person. I'm really just a book lover and mainly a children's book lover. But I also love reading for myself, and I see myself sort of as on the beginning stages still of there's so many books that I want to read. I'm usually thinking of, okay, there's so many more that I haven't read yet. That's usually my perspective. I'm very hungry to read more. So I'm definitely a young mom and new, I feel like new in some ways to all of this. But children's books is something I'm very passionate about. And so on the page on Instagram and Facebook, I recently shared this book called Maps by 2 illustrators that I'm not sure I'll be able to pronounce their names. Their names are Alexandra and Daniel, and the last name is something similar to Mizilinska. I think they're Polish. It is a gorgeous book. So this is it's a perfect example for a book that will get anyone reading. And no, reading is not just novels or theology studies, even though that is very much reading. I'm not saying it's any less reading. I just want to broaden our horizon to what it means to read and what it means to be a book lover. So this book, Maps, it says here on the cover, travel the globe without leaving your living room. Yes, that's what I love. It's a very big book. And what it is I'd never seen that before until I got it like 5 or 6 years ago. It's a collection of maps that are illustrated in a way where you learn on each map, you learn a whole lot about the culture there, and you also learn about the geography. So I have open here the United Kingdom map. For every country, we learn some facts that are just important to know, like the capital, the languages, population, and the area. And also then you have, which is really cute, on each page there's 2 children illustrated sort of in like a traditional clothing, and they have names too. So for the UK, this would be Olivia and Jack. They try to have kind of typical names, which is just very, very cute. For Switzerland, we have Jonas and Anais, which I had never actually heard that one before, even though I'm German. And so basically what we see is a large map of the UK, and we have several important destinations as famous castles in there, illustrated in a lovely style. And then all around the map, though, we learn about the country and history and culture. There's a little illustration of Robin Hood, and it just says, very simple, it says, according to legend, Robin Hood lived in Sherwood Forest. And you can then find, there's a tiny number one, you can find that tiny number one on the map and see where Sherwood Forest is. And of course, many of us have heard before, we might even have known where Sherwood Forest is. But it's just that sort of exploring a book and just doing something, reading something you're interested in, studying it in a way that might seem, oh, that's only for kids, where I would strongly disagree and say, no, we adults get so much out of a book like this one. We learn on every page for each country there are traditional meals. So let me share with you. The UK has chicken tikka masala, and it actually describes it to what it is. It says chicken marinated with spices and yogurt, served in a cream and tomato sauce. It's just fun. It brings up memories because I've been there a couple times. It might remind you of some books you've read before of that played in the UK. The book also shows different kinds of sports that are performed in that country. Of course, the legendary Loch Ness Monster. Then it says the British are famous for their luxury cars. Whatever you see in this map, you can take it into further study and you can go for days. I mean, there's no end when it comes to studying countries and cultures. You can learn so much. Of course, books, we see the British Bulldog, we see a red kite, a red fox, sheep farming. So there's, again, not much writing, but just enough to just lose yourself in it. And so whenever my brother would come over back in Germany, he's in his early 20s, and he would have maybe not picked up a book like this from the bookstore himself, but whenever he was at my house, he loved looking at it, and we would, you know, just start talking. Of course, the map is not as accurate as like a typical atlas, but still, it has a lot of details. We see the names of several islands. Here I see the Isle of Lewis. I see the Isle of, let's see. Oh, afternoon tea is a British tradition, it says here. It has so much on it. I would also recommend you, maybe you haven't thought of that before, but you can also use a book like that for art lessons with your children, which sounds fancy, and especially for somebody maybe like me who doesn't feel confident in drawing even just a horse or a girl, it seems overwhelming. But really all it is you give them a piece of paper and you open up that map and you explore together, and they see you're passionate about it, best case, and then they become sort of interested in it. And then we say, hey, let's draw a couple of those pictures. Let's draw some of the animals. Let's even, depending on how old your children are, you could even copy the whole map and learn where the rivers are and all of that. So you will always hear me talk a lot about different cultures and countries, especially the ones that I've been to. There's many other countries that I have not much experience with, so I'm kind of in the beginning stages. But the UK just has a special place in my heart. Let me share with you a couple more countries you'll find in this book called Maps. We find Morocco, Italy, Spain and France, Madagascar, Australia, Japan, China, Mongolia, Finland, the US, of course. And actually, my book was probably the first edition. I don't know from when exactly it is, but I know that even just 1 or 2 years ago, they released another version that has more, that includes more maps. So, of course, I'm very intrigued to get that new one. It's a little bit more pricey, so you should always look out for deals. I just saw it actually have price on Amazon and shared that on Fill Your House with Books. I try to share book deals when I find them, if it's books that I can honestly highly recommend. Let's move on to another one. The 1 Year Christian History. Super exciting book. I'm a really big fan of that. I just discovered those. There's also one called The Women's History or Women in History 1 Year Book. This one here called The 1 Year Christian History, basically it says a daily glimpse into God's powerful work. And so you have a date for each page, let's say July 20th and then August 28th, and then you have a biography of somebody. It's actually quite thorough. It's not that short. And then we have some scripture with it too. So it will not substitute your Bible study time, of course, but it's a beautiful edition. It's a beautiful book that you can feel like, yeah, I can do this. I can read this. I can read about somebody. My husband and I just recently read one together in the nighttime. We read about Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot's husband, who died as a missionary. And it just makes you think. It prompts conversations. As far as reading this one with your kids, I could not vouch for that because I just started with it. I would recommend it for teenagers already. I would recommend it specifically for family devotional times because it's just so, in my opinion, so interesting to read about other people. Here's one about Julens Palmer from Oxford. Oh, wow. And it just says a lot. It really doesn't just say two sentences, but there's a lot of detail about their life, kind of like a mini biography. And then again, these are famous Christians or Christians that might not be that well known, but people that we know of, and beautiful, beautiful book that you can pick up really even during breakfast time and read it. It really depends on what your daily life looks like. But I would just recommend you to try that. When you have a book like this, you won't feel overwhelmed because I would assume that if you had 4 to 5 minutes, you will be done with going through the whole thing. If you have a car ride with your husband and you sit there on the passenger seat and you just kind of zoom out for a couple moments, I tell you, there's just so many moments that you as a mom, or also the dads, of course, can add more reading time to your day. Of course, you need to see what are you interested in. So for me, as you can probably see, I'm very interested in, our whole family's interested in geography and cultures, other countries, other languages, and history. So there's many more things. It really just depends. I would highly recommend you, though, looking at how people used to live. It's just something that also as homeschool parents, we teach so much about history and we learn so much, and it will just strengthen our faith as well. So The 1 Year Christian History by Michael and Sharon Rustin. I'm going to share these books on my blog for everyone to kind of look up. I can already see I will probably not get through all of those books because I take so much time talking about them. There will probably have to be another episode on this theme. But another book that you might feel very random or out of place, but I definitely have to add to this list of random reading times for parents, The Little House Cookbook, Frontier Foods from Laura Ingalls Wilder's Classic Stories. This is just a treasure. Basically, we find several chapters from the Little House books and a whole lot of recipes that are found in those books, so based on the Little House stories. Fried fish, then there's illustrations, there's cranberry jelly, blueberry pudding, so obviously just a great idea to read this with your children and then cook too. And for me personally, I'm interested in the Little House themes. That's a book that I can pick up and just kind of, like I said, stöbern in. I can just kind of look at recipes and see, okay, that's how they cooked it. Oh, nice, those are pictures. And what will happen again, I will just establish this habit in my own life of being a reading mom and being setting a standard in our home for, hey, look, this is a wonderful book. Let's try this. Oh, yeah, books is what mommy does when she has a moment on her own. Reading is what she enjoys. So consider this, cookbooks. Nowadays, there's so many cookbooks created in a way that they include stories. I have this other cookbook. It's actually German. I think it was published by Germans, so it was probably not translated, but originally German. It's called New York Baking or New York Cooking. And basically, you find a lot of American-style Christmas recipes. I think New York Christmas Baking or something. And interwoven several personal stories, just sort of the people that live there in New York. And it's just interesting to read. And it's those sorts of stories that are shorter. They're not an entire book. So it's just fun to, as I say, stöbern in a book like that. Of course, the pictures too. Cookbooks nowadays, you can probably relate. You probably know what I mean. They oftentimes include beautiful photographs that are just fun to look at. Like the Prairie Homestead Cookbook comes to mind. I can highly recommend that one too. She writes a lot about her life on the farm and her homestead. So that's a great book too. There's one book that is aimed at children, but it's one of those books that my husband can read for hours. And We all of us adults can get something out of it. I have shared it on my blog in the past. It's called God's Bible Timeline, a big book of biblical history. And how this is designed is really like a timeline. So again, stöbern, it's a book that you can just sit down with and have even 2 minutes and you will get something out of it. Of course, you can sit for 2 hours, but there's illustrations, there's maps, and then of course the timeline is the biggest part of the book. So we read here about the first missionaries, and then it's again designed as a timeline. There's scriptures with it, and then we have pictures, so many beautiful pictures in here of archaeological sites in Philippi and all of those things, like things that really happened, the first missionary journey. So it's just interesting to open it up and just kind of look at it and read it, and of course with your children as well. Just wanted to tell you one big thing I want to leave you with today is there are so many quote-unquote children's books that we as adults can learn so much from. In fact, that's just what I keep thinking of, is the C.S. Lewis quote, "A good children's book is one that you will enjoy with 50 years old as much as you did when you were 5. So that's my version. I don't remember the exact quote right now. But you get the point. A good children's story is one that even as an older person, you will still see value in. You will still feel touched and inspired by. And the same way it really is with books like that are not a novel or a story like that, but they include, like here for instance, it says women in the early church, and we learn about Priscilla, about Lydia, there's illustrations. We learn about Paul's journey to Rome. Very, very, very interesting. So I highly recommend that one. It's by Christian Focus Publications. I highly recommend that publisher as well. And again, the title is God's Bible Timeline, the Big Book of Biblical History. It says it includes 18 timelines. Creation to the Promised Land, living in the Promised Land, from one kingdom to two, exile and return, the Messiah, and the early church. Very, very, very interesting. And there's actually a second one in the series that I do not own yet. It's called The Big Book of Church History. So can't wait to get into that. Let's see, one book that I shared, and wow, so many of you were really interested in it. It's called 75 Masterpieces Every Christian Should Know. It's one of those moments when I saw this title and when Moody Publisher sent it to me, I thought to myself, how come I have never seen anything like that before because it's just the best idea ever, isn't it? It's a wonderful collection of, like I said, 75 masterpieces. And for me personally, I see myself, even though I've been studying those themes, art, literature, music, and film, I've been studying it for a couple of years. I still see myself at the very beginning of all these wonderful things I can learn. And learning is just wonderful. You just feel like you're never done with it. There's so many wonderful things to learn. And those masterpieces are just a wonderful collection. I like the length too. So again, you remember Stöbern. You can pick this book up and just read. I opened here one that's titled The Innocence of Father Brown by G.K. Chesterton. And so what we find is basically a background history of the title and of the author. We have a wonderful photograph. It's so cool. Of Chesterton at work. And reading this, also, actually, there are paragraphs from his actual books. Very, very interesting. And of course, again, your teenagers, or depending on the article, even your older elementary kids will get a lot out of those texts. Let me give you some examples of what we find in this book. So there's an article on Narnia, because remember, it's 75 masterpieces every Christian should know. So this doesn't focus on authors in themselves, but on an actual piece, actual masterpiece. So for instance, there is Michelangelo's painting called The Ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And so then in that article, we will learn about the author and the artists. The author is an artist too, but the focus is on the actual pieces of art. For instance, Martin Luther's hymn from 1592 called A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Martin Luther, of course, was a German, so that's very interesting for me, a special place in my heart there. We learn about, also, The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan is in here. And then we always learn when it was published. So it says novel 1678. Wonderful songs, wonderful paintings. And so I just know from a family adding this book to their home library and studying it in some shape or form, there will be learning happening. There will be interest and will be sparked. But you have to start as the mom, as the dad. We have to start and learn those things ourselves if we want to pass them on to our children. Of course, there's also one article on Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. I'm a big fan, even though I'm fairly new, actually, to her novels. I'm just now beginning to read them. For some reason, it was just never in Germany. She wasn't that famous, I would say. So I never read any books by her. I read several famous works of literature in my English classes in school, but none by Jane Austen. So I'm fairly new to those. And I'm very much enjoying her writing style. And I was very glad to hear, too, that she was a believer and she published some of her prayers. Or I don't know if she published them, but they were published and you can read them. So, yes, wonderful. A wonderful book to do some exploring in, to have some reading moments as a parent. And so to end this podcast, I wanted to give you one more idea, which sometimes maybe it seems obvious, but just to encourage you. I don't know if you have any of those books, but when I was younger, that was sort of normal that you had those illustrated books of places, sort of like a travel book. And when we lived in Germany for 6 years here recently together as a family, so I grew up there, but we spent 6 years together there with my husband and my kids, and now we're back here in Florida. We visited Edinburgh and London. We went to Scotland and England for a vacation. And in order to prepare for this trip, I looked on this used book page, sort of like thriftbooks.com, just for German, just, you know, in Germany. And I just typed in Edinburgh book, and I bought this book. It's called Edinburgh, An Illustrated Journey. I don't even know how old it is. The design and the quality of the photographs definitely show it's a little bit older. It's nothing newer or fancy, but you can see everything still. It's color photographs. And what it is just one of those typical travel books where you have a bunch of photographs. That was important to me. That's not so much writing, but more the photographs. And it's again, it's an illustrated journey through Edinburgh, and this is just your perfect book to just enjoy, of course, of whatever place you're interested in. Look on the used book pages and just find a place that you've been to, a place you'd like to go to, or even just America, the country you live in, and have it as a book laying around. It just makes a difference, especially when you're trying to navigate away and have less screen time and more book time. Think of it, just widen your perspective there, and don't just look at novels and quote-unquote books that have only text, but also look at books like that. So this is a book I just enjoy. Sometimes your mind might be full of whatever, and it's just nice to look at the pictures and just even talk to others about it. You know how novels cannot so easily be shared in, like, let's say a dinner party coming over, but a book like that, you can have your friend and you can say, hey, let's look at this. I've been here. Have you seen this architecture before? That's beautiful. So just to give you some ideas, I know there's so many more suggestions I could bring. You can see basically anything you're interested in, you can have a book about and look at. And my biggest point for this podcast episode was really just to encourage you, the mom and the dad, that the way you foster your own reading life, it will have such an impact, if not the biggest impact, on your children's reading life. And also, just for the sake of your own mind and heart, it's wonderful to read more and to have time, to spend time with books and to see books as friends, as funny or silly as it sounds. I really feel that way. Think about what you're interested in and what you would like to just dive into, even in the middle of a busy day, even at the end of a busy day, in the night when you feel tired. Is there some book that you could invest even just 10 minutes into and look at? Something that you would find enjoyable, even like those books, Don't Know Much About History, those sorts of books, or books that I really like are quote books. So I have this collection called Quotable C.S. Lewis, just gorgeous. And it literally just is a collection of quotes. They are all organized by topic. So this is something that when we just celebrated my son's second birthday, friends grab books and reach for them and just look at them. They won't read an entire novel at my house, but they will spend time with books and learn from them and just get inspired to read more and take things to heart and just have that literary atmosphere at the house. So again, I would love to hear from you, what thoughts you have on it. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook, and also just via email. I would love to keep building this community up. I'm so grateful every time I hear feedback from you. And I just pray that really all of you, that the Lord would lead you and us, that the Lord would lead us in creating a home for our children that is rich in love, rich in truth, goodness, and beauty, that the Lord would show us which books to fill to our home, fill our homes with, which books to learn from and to invite into our homes. I pray that the Lord would help us to navigate away from too much, maybe not purposeful screen time, and just have more time reading, and that you would show us, Lord, just clearly what steps to take, what books would inspire us, what books would actually help us with thoughts of anxiety or restlessness. What do you want to do, Lord, to give our souls peace and quiet, Lord? How can we be those role models for our children? How can we set that standard in our homes, God? I thank you, Lord, and thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I'm praying for each and every one listening, and I can't wait to speak to you all again. Bye-bye.